This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Pete Caliendo, Baseball Outside the Box. We're back again, another show, and another great show we think it's going to be. I'm with my good friend, CJ Beatty, and listen, I'm going to tell you about him in a second, but before I do, remember, all the shows are on YouTube, man. YouTube, Peter Caliendo. Just subscribe. They're all free. There's 80-plus. You're going to love them, and please share them. That's all we ask for the show, and then obviously the audio goes on baseballoutsidethebox.com, which is the podcast. Check that out in case you can't see the videos. So let's get started right away. Let me get started with my good friend. Listen, he is the president CEO of Motivational Nuggets. Met this guy very first time, and I'm getting older, so I forget. Could be even 4 or 5 years ago at the Mohegan Sun softball baseball convention. What a super guy. He motivated me right away. I love this guy. Wish I could stay in touch with him more often. He is a former professional player, St. Louis Cardinals, drafted in 2009, went on later with the White Sox, coached with the Cardinals also, so he's got that great baseball background. He's owns a company that covers baseball, softball motivation, so he's going to talk about that. We're going to mention that, and get this, he's a music artist. And he's going to tell you where to go because you have got to listen to his baseball music. It is outstanding. And I know more people are getting noticed about it, and they're seeing him more and more. So let me welcome my good friend, CJ Beatty. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good, Pete. That was a hell of an introduction, dude.
Yeah.
I was over here like, hey, where's this guy at? I want to see this guy that he's hyping up. So
thanks, yeah, you are.
It's an honor to be, here in your presence because you do so much for the game. I mean, over here and abroad. So, being on Big Pete's, I call you Big Pete, Big Pete's podcast is where it's all at, man. So thank you for this opportunity.
Well, I appreciate it. And as always, you always make me feel good, whether it's through an email or whether it's through, talking live. Hey, listen, let's do this for our audience because there's a lot of people out there that know you, and I want more people to know you, not just in the U.S., but also around the world because you're known around the world. I got a couple emails saying, hey, we got to get this guy out in France. We got to get him out in Italy, so we're going to work on that. But tell everybody, let's start off with this before you tell them what you actually are doing. What have you been doing during the coronavirus? It's been tough because, we've had to be in. It's not been easy. I know you're always a positive person. So what would be neat to know is let our audience know the positive things you found through the coronavirus also.
Yeah, man, it's been tough. And I'm glad you asked that question because has it been easy? I'm going to be transparent. When the coronavirus first hit, it caught me off guard, just like it caught everybody else off guard as well. It was coming, but I was still downplaying it. Oh, man, it's like the flu. Oh, man, it's just like this. It'll be out of here. It's just something that we done hyped up. But as I started to see it catch fire and spread rapidly, fast, overnight, cases going up, I was shell-shocked because here I am during baseball season at the head of 2020, I got a full schedule on my plate. I'm traveling basically every weekend, whether I'm coaching, speaking, camp, clinic, you name it, it all came to a halt, Pete. And I was so devastated because it was like it was nothing that I could do. Usually as an entrepreneur, you fall back on your other streams of income. But shoot, COVID, it crushed everything else.
Absolutely.
So I'm sitting there like, man, what am I going to do? As an entrepreneur, you eat what you catch.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't leave the house to catch anything, So I was like, what am I doing? But one thing after I allowed myself to have a meltdown, I mean, for real, I even told my fiance, I was like, babe, listen, close the door. I need some time to myself. I need some woosah. I need a little bit of some, that going on. But I came to this realization. Here it is right here, Pete. You asked for it. Here it is. I needed to slow down to be able to see what was essential to life. I needed to slow down to be able to see the finer things of life. Because, you know, you get out there so much trying to grow, go, that I realize, and I'm going to be honest, because I'm, you know, my motivation is honest. It was a year and a half since I've been over my grandmother's house.
Mm.
It took COVID to slow me down enough to, now I've seen her way plenty of times, but to actually go sit with my grandmother, it was a year and a half. And I realized that when I was sitting at her dining room table, I said, Grandma, I am so sorry to tell you this, but I haven't been over here in almost 2 years. But it slowed me down to be able to say, listen, understand what's important. I understand what's good for you, but if you are a motivator, if you are a person that's out here trying to do right by people to help them see the good in themselves and to go as far as they can, you have to be the person that slows down enough to see what's most important in your life. So COVID really did help. It slowed me down. It also put more books in front of me for me to read. It also put things into perspective where there's some things that I wanted to do, but since I was on the go, I had to put on the back burner, like an audio book that's coming out soon that I'm having come out, a book that I'm done with, and we're just making sure the book cover matches everything. That's going to be coming out. My first book series is coming out. I'm dropping some music this Friday, some baseball feel-good music. Volume 5 will be dropping this Friday. Make sure you guys take we'll talk about that, I'm sure, but
yeah, definitely.
You do not want to miss Baseball Feel Good Music Volume 5. Clean, catchy music. Be careful because I got some bass in it, so you might have to turn it down. I got some bass in it because the kids love it. But I just been able to slow down and work on some things that I really needed to work on.
That's awesome. And you know, the one thing, you're an entrepreneur as I am, and one thing about entrepreneurs during these tough times, they do get creative.
Yes.
And that's the key, I think, for a lot of people. I'm even trying to figure out, you know, which way do I go now? Because, you know, life has changed. So you have to make a different direction. You talked about books. You talked about, you know, you can do motivational videos, music mm-hmm. videos. So there's a lot of things you can do, right, that you normally couldn't do if, you know, you're in the wrong situation. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, and that's true. And as I look back and now reflect on how far I've come at the start of this year to now, it sounds crazy to say this, but I hope people understand. Definitely not taken away from what COVID has done to America, what COVID has done to the world. But overall, from a positive outlook, different perspective, I'm thankful that it happened. You know, I'm really thankful that it happened. Because it allowed me to see what's very important in my life, being my family, my religion, my personal development, and things of going forward. So I'm thankful for the slowdown.
You know, I believe that's probably the biggest thing that's really helped us during COVID. And I'll tell you why, because, you know, I know my writing, I've been writing a little bit more, mm-hmm. and it's getting better because it wasn't very good. So but just by forcing to doing it, same thing with the podcast, right? You got to interview people. You get a little bit better. I mean, it takes a long time. And I'm still, you know, very at the basic level. But mm-hmm. here's the other thing. And COVID has, and I want to just address COVID a little bit because I talk about this on the show once in a while. And I'm always curious. I'm all for the social distancing. I'm all for the masks. I think we all have to have precautions, no doubt about it. But what I'd love to hear more from our medical people, from people in general, is about our health, you know. Mm-hmm. I think this is the time to walk more every day, to ride a bike, to drink more water, to eat, you know, take vitamins, maybe experiment a little bit. I talk about this, you know, a little bit. D vitamin is very important. We're 70% of our population is D vitamin deficient. And the sun gives us that. So we got to get out a little bit. Talk about the health issues because, you know, those are the things that also help you avoid getting sick, or at least getting really bad, you know, sick really bad. Mm-hmm. So I think all the, and you're a healthy person, you know, all what it takes. What have you been doing? Have you changed your lifestyle a little bit? Because I've changed mine even more.
I mean, I really have. And I'm thankful again for the break, for the COVID break, quarantine. because like we purchased bicycles. You know, me and my fiance purchased bicycles, and we went out and we started riding bikes. We picked up tennis. We have a tennis court, a local tennis court that's walking distance from where I stay. And we started playing tennis. There's an elementary school not too far from where I stay, and they have a basketball court out there. And I continue to be here in horse all the time, you know. So at the end of the day, being active, I couldn't say I was doing that whenever everything was normal. Mm. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't paying attention, quite honestly, to my health as much. You know, I was making sure I wasn't eating unhealthy. But if you ask me how active I was, the only thing that I was telling you that I was doing before COVID was sitting on a golf cart, chasing my ball around the golf course. Yeah. And if you call that active, then I don't know what it is. That's basically sitting on the couch watching TV and you have wheels on the couch. Absolutely. And you get up every now and again and then sit back on the couch. So, but I'm thankful that it happened because it put things into perspective. I didn't want to sit at home and do nothing and stare at the four walls. So it forced me to get out to exercise, go on walks, jogging, get my body right and things like that. So again, I'm thankful for the pause.
Yeah. And it's great because I think now a lot of people are starting to create good habits because, mm-hmm. you know, we've all had bad habits. This just helps you create a little bit better habits and those will continue. All right, let's shift a little bit here. Let's talk about your business, baseball, softball, motivator. You've got TSM, you know, and I'm sure the other one's TBM, I would assume, right? So let's talk about those and what you're doing.
Man, they're my babies. Currently right now, I don't have any kids of my own. God hasn't blessed me with that just yet, but right now they are my babies. The TBM brand is my oldest, and TSM is my little infant that I'm raising up right now. But at the end of the day, I started these brands because I wanted to flood social media with the things that I missed as a professional athlete. Mm. The things that I missed starting from Little League all the way up to pro ball. I got all the way up to pro ball, Pete, and I realized that, man, you know what? This thing that they said that's between the ears, man, I lacked that so much in my development. I did. I thought it was all about the physical. I thought it was all about the who can throw it the farthest or hardest or who can hit it the farthest, who can run the fastest. I thought this is what it was all about. You know, I didn't. If anybody pulled me to the side, the day that when I got to the Cardinals, my hitting coach asked me what I was thinking in the box, and I felt like I was giving him the correct answer. I told him I was just trying to hit a bomb, coach. And he looked at me with this face like I said the most idiotic answer ever. And I'm over here like, I'm looking around like, is this some type of joke? Because literally that's what my approach is. I'm trying to hit it in the seats. I'm swinging, grip and rip. If drop down, collapse the backside and hit it fly, you know? So next thing you know it, he explained to me that that's the reason why I was so inconsistent with my batting average. Mm. Because I didn't have a plan of attack. I was stepping in the box just with a wish and not a plan, you know? And at that moment, at that particular moment, when I decided to take this journey to grow my mental toughness in the sport of baseball, it took me, it wasn't easy, but it took me some time. I started to read more. I started to ask more questions. Things that wasn't right, I worked on them more in practice. I showed up early and left late. I was on this journey of growing myself. It took about 2 to 3 years after that conversation with my hitting coordinator. When it finally clicked, I wasn't in the Cardinals organization. I was an independent baseball looking for another opportunity. I was 23 years of age. I had the best statistical year of my life. I felt like the ball stayed huge the entire season. I played stress-free. I was more of a leader. I was vocal. I was this. I was that. I wasn't the fastest, but I was 15-0 in stolen bases that season because I knew I had it between the ears on when to go. That's why I started my brand. I said, when I got out, I want to be able to help the next person not make the same mistakes mentally and physically, but primarily mentally that I did when I played. And that's when I launched the baseball and softball motivator brands.
Okay, and explain what that does now. Their videos, their more, when you say, because when you say motivational, you know, baseball, motivational softball, you're motivating the players and understanding what they need to concentrate on, and that is studying the game, understanding pressure, dealing with failure, all that. Explain that.
Yeah, man. It's the whole kind. When I say motivation, I'm talking about the entire spectrum of motivation, from approaches, routines, dieting, what scouts look for, getting how to get out of slumps, being able to just motivate them through the rigors of not only life on the field, but life off the field. Because in my motivational talks, I want to prepare them for life. And I feel like I use baseball and softball as a vehicle to give them the essential elements that they need for life. Just like I found out with me. I wouldn't be the person that I am today without the game of baseball, because of all the failures that came with baseball. You know, and I think baseball and softball is the most comparable sport to life. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the amount of failure that you are put up against on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying? So videos, music videos, video footage of me speaking at other university athletics, and I posted on my YouTube channel. I started the central hub for my motivation is Instagram. And the reason why is because that's where everybody is. Mm. That's where everybody is, whether you're a kid, a parent, or a coach. Everybody's on Instagram. Facebook is like, well, I thought everybody's on Facebook. It is, but it's not kid-friendly. It's more information-friendly. So that means that it's more for the adults or people of young adults and up. So I decided to take my brand to where the kids are, because if you want to change the future in any way, you got to start with the children and build them up so they'll understand. How many times, Pete, have you said in your career, if I knew what I know now back then, what kind of athlete would I have been? So now I wanted to be able to take my brand to Instagram and help spam the kids with positivity, letting them know that, hey, you didn't make the team. It's okay. Hey, your boy Beatty's here for you. Let's help you get through this. Let's fight through it. Let's go grab that tea and let's get back to work. Let's figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm passionate about when it comes to TBM and TSM.
Let's address a couple of those, because you talked about pro ball to college, you know, college to pro ball. What's the difference? What do you think the difference between college and professional baseball is? And then also because you had to get released, obviously, when you got released, how did you deal with that? And how did it affect what you're doing now?
Well, the main difference when I was in college, man, you couldn't tell me anything. I was the dude. I'm the guy. You know, I was there on full scholarship. I was out there like, man, I'm that dude, man. Yeah. You know, I was batting third in the lineup. Everything just felt like it was just a Disney movie. Then I get to pro ball, and I'm like, I'm looking around with big eyes like, yo, he's faster than me. He's bigger than me. Did you see that ball come off that bat? Whoa, look at him run that 60. It looks like his toes are not even touching the ground. So it was like a reality check. Like, yo, I'm not just a big fish no more. I got to earn this. So that the main difference that I really saw and understood was the amount of focus from all the athletes. Everybody had the same goal. We want to get to St. Louis. And at that time, the manager was Tony La Russa. We want to play for La Russa in St. Louis. So it was good to be able to see the camaraderie, but at the end of the day, it was good to see the competition, because everybody's goal was to go up to get to St. Louis, man. So I think the biggest difference from college – well, you know what? The biggest difference, honestly, and I'm glad you asked me that question because I talk about it, the biggest difference is adjustments from college to pro. And then if you want to break it down to the finer, rookie ball to low A to working itself all the way to the big leagues, it's about adjustments. You're going to get to college, and pretty much when you're in your later years of college, you've kind of almost peaked at your power potential. You know, your body's not going to just keep growing and expanding past college. You know, you can get stronger, but not as much. So what I'm trying to really say is your knowledge really has the chance to continue to grow, not your physical. So with that being said, adjustments is really what separates college all the way up to major leagues. the ability to make quick adjustments. When I have to scout, being a pro scout, when I'm scouting a rookie level guy, we scout potential. We want to dream on that kid a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We want to be able to say, you know, projectability is the word that's used a lot at the lower levels because it's tough. We have to be able to say there's a gap between him finding himself mentally that could really position him to be great and make a quick jump over the next offseason. But the thing that separates watching a rookie ball game versus going up to watch a triple-A game versus going to the big leagues is when a person, a big leaguer, can make an in-at-bat adjustment just like this. In-at-bat. Just, I mean, boom. Hit, boom. Right then and there, he'll know, I know what I need to do. And as you start to go down, it takes a little bit longer. You know, it takes a little bit longer. Are they throwing it as hard as the big leaguers? Yes. Are they as strong as the big leaguers? Yes. But what separates them? The ability to make quick adjustments.
You know, it's interesting. You brought up adjustments probably 10 times. So I'm going to focus on that. Before I do, hey, folks, CJ mentioned Tony La Russa. Go to the podcast, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Check it out. La Russa's on there. Great show, well, over an hour. Great man, man. Love him. You know, I can see why he's successful. I was with him at the World Baseball Classic. Worked mm-hmm. with him about a week. Boy, attention to detail, just positive. I mean, just an unbelievable person. I know you've run into him.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, my Tony La Russa story is he is, and in my bio on my website, it'll say it. I accredit Tony La Russa and Albert Pujols to the people that introduced me to mental toughness. Oh. Because when I got to St. Louis, we had three speakers, Tony La Russa, Albert Pujols, then Adam Wainwright. And all three of them, nobody knew, they didn't speak to each other prior to these conversations, but they all said the same thing, mental toughness. And they were talking about how his Pujols' preparation was. Tony Russo was talking about having a short-term memory for failure and making sure that you're locked in. It was just so many things that they were talking about up here instead of right here that I was like, yo, I've never heard of this before. What is this mental toughness? So I really do. Like, I'm the baseball motivator. I'm the softball motivator. But there really wouldn't be that if it wasn't for people like Tony La Russa and Albert Pujols and Adam Wainwright to introduce me to what mental toughness was.
You know, and it's interesting you say that because, you know, I'm older than you are. So, I mean, when I went to baseball school, it was all fundamentals. We didn't deal with the mental game much. Even when I started playing college ball, not much mental. We just started a series last week on the brain and how the brain functions and how you train the brain, all about mental toughness, mental motivation. And I want to talk about the adjustment phase that you said, because the adjustment from college to pro ball, one thing about being on the field, but then the difference, I'm sure, is also off the field, because, you know, in college ball, you're in a dorm, you got classes, you got counselors, you got your baseball coach. You get the pro ball, you're pretty much on your own. Now you got to not, right? I mean, now you got to, you got to adjust on your own now, because there's nobody there tapping your, you know, oh, did you eat today? Or did you go to class or whatever it may be. Now you're on your own. So talk about that adjustment, because that's not easy for a lot of young guys.
Yeah, it wasn't. And I always encourage, when I get the opportunity to talk, you know, the White Sox, with me being in Winston-Salem, their high A team is here. Their high A team is here in my hometown. Had the pleasure of playing in front of my hometown. Felt like the little big leagues when I played. Nice. But they asked me from time to time to come back and talk to the pro guys there at the high level. And I tell them that it's about accountability. It's about accountability. There's nobody that's going to follow you around, making sure you're making the right decisions. There's nobody there making sure that you do what's right for you. Most of the times when you're at that level, there's no curfew. You just got to be responsible and understand that one bad decision could affect the rest of your life. Mm. Not just your baseball career, but the rest of your life. I know you're having fun, but when you're in pro ball, it's a job, and you need to address it as such. Why? Well, they say, nah, CJ, you need to have fun and relax. Well, I get that, but still, understand it's a job. You need to be able to perform, be accountable, be on time, be a good teammate. There are some things that you need to know that's your responsibility. You know, so that difference, having that buffer of somebody being there to say, hey, guys, take a Gatorade bar at college. Hey, guys, here it is. That stuff is available to you in pro ball. It is. And there's a lot of other things available to you in pro ball. But if you don't ask for it, a lot of times it's you're not going to get it. You know, you're not going to get it. You need to be able to know. And that's why I'm thankful about mental toughness, because that embodies everything that they were talking about to us. Being accountable, dieting, making the right decisions, understanding you have a game so you can't go out that night because you have an early bus ride. And then as soon as you get off the bus, you're going to be right at the field for BP. You got to make the executive decision that I can't go out tonight, fellas. I got to be able to go home and rest up because my career is on the line. You know what I'm saying? So it's I'm glad. That's a great question.
You know, and I remember in independent ball, I was in it quite a few years, and I remember the thing I liked about independent ball was it was about winning, but at the same time, it was about getting guys to affiliate baseball. But also, the message to our guys was always, listen, you're now professionals. You've been professionals because you came from Double A, Triple A. Some came from the big leagues. Your goal is to get back in the affiliate baseball. At least that was the goal of most of the guys. Now it's all on you. You've got to do the right things. But if you don't produce, you're going to be gone. Mm-hmm. So understand that now you're responsible for everything you do. We're going to be there as to help you, to assist you, to give you feedback. But it's up to you to get it done. If you don't, unfortunately, it's a rough life and you're going to get released. And now you're going to have to find something else. And I bring that up because I want to ask you, as a pro scout, you know, you've had the opportunity to be in pro ball, college, you know, scouting, coaching professional baseball. So pro scout, talk about what turned you off when you went to look at players. You know, you got a good report on a player, but then all of a sudden you got there and there's things you just didn't like about them. And what would be some of those things that possibly really turned you off on a player that didn't fit the culture of the organization?
You know, we had this thing in the Cardinals organization called the Cardinal Way, doing things the Cardinal Way. And we held that to high regard, doing the things the Cardinal way. Energy is one. You can be a talented player, but just being able to see that energy about your craft. You don't have to be off the walls, bouncing, high energy and things like that. It's just the way you go about your business. Are you going about your business in a way that shows that you want to be there, that you care, and that you're a good teammate? I know the Cardinals were really big on character. I mean, they're. I don't know them by heart. I don't know them by name. I don't have anything, never heard. But I can assume that not every organization might not be as big on character as the Cardinals were, because I've heard different from various scouts. Man, look, they just want guys that does the numbers. But I know for me, especially with my scouting director, they're real big. Like, listen, they got to fit the mold. Not only do they have the numbers, but we want to know that they're going to be fighting in 2 years the same way that they're fighting now. We got to be able to know that they can handle the rigors of the climb up towards the big leagues and things like that. So for me, when I'm scouting, I want to be able to see that energy, that bounce, you know, about their business. And I want to see the interaction. I want to be able to see the makeup to be able to know, like, you can be, I mean, you're a professional. So we get that you're talented, you're here, but you got to show me that it factor. You got to show me that one thing or that two or three things that's going to be like, this guy's a big leaguer. And it's not all about exit velocity. You got to be able to have the complete package when you're scouting professionally other pros, to be able to say, like, does he have the DNA to be able to endure and to get there, and not only get there, but to stay there. You know, so it's important for me. It was energy and finding out his it factor and what made him tick.
And again, that circles right back to mental toughness, because I know I did not have that when I was younger. I was a hothead. I even played racquetball, you know, at a fairly high level. But man, I was a hothead, and that stopped me from even going higher, because I was always blaming somebody else. You know, it was always somebody else's fault. And you know, I didn't get a chance, whatever it may be. And I've learned from that. But, you know, I had to learn late, you know, that mental toughness is tough to really develop. And when we talk about mental toughness, doesn't that really start at a younger age, one, dealing with the failure, but really at practice? Because when you're practicing your skill, one of the things you have to practice is how to be mentally tough when you fail, right? So let's talk about the practice aspect of it.
Yeah. You know what? It's, and I mean, you're hitting them right on the head with these questions, man. The mental toughness really does start at practice. About the younger, the age of development, that's why I don't feel, you know, sometimes you'll hear people say, you know, in the batting lessons with a 9 or 10 year old, don't bombard them with a lot of thinking and things like that. I get that to some degree, but the other side of the fence is it's up to you to be able to communicate this complex nature of hitting in a way that they can understand it. Now, if you can do that, then I say go forward. There are some 9 year olds I can have a 13, 14 year old conversation with that 9 year old because he can handle it. And as a coach, as an instructor, as a communicator, it's up to you to be able to figure out who can handle and who can't. You know, don't, and I feel like we're kind of going sidebar, but as a, if you're a young youth coach on here looking to take your knowledge and coaching to the next level, you can't do the cookie cutout mold for everybody.
Mm.
What works for Pete might not work for CJ. I might be a fast learner. I might hit with a leg kick. Pete might be a slower learner, and he hits with no leg kick and just has a rock like Albert Pujols had. You know, so at the end of the day, it's your job as a coach to be a better communicator, to be able to find out how to get this into this. And when, as they get older, this gets bigger for you to try to fit it into because their intellect gets bigger. So, but going back to that is mental toughness starts at a very young age, just being able to introduce them to it. Even if they don't quite understand it, continue to introduce them, put in front of them, hey, what are you thinking about right here? Because now we're starting to get that, we're starting that process of thinking. Introduced, they shouldn't, if you're 9 and 10 years old, they should have already heard what a routine, what an approach, what are that. Now, that doesn't mean that they got to have a routine. Hey, you're waking up at 6 a.m. in the morning, 9-year-old. No. But a routine is, hey, son, what's your routine? Let's brush our teeth. Hey, let's make our bed. Because if you introduce them to a routine, it'll be able to transfer to the game.
Hmm.
You got a routine. So now we need to be able to get to the field. Let's make sure we get our stretches in. Let's get – if you can start to implement that type as a coach to your team, as a parent to your player, now you're positioning them to be a lot – to move a lot faster than the average player on that team because you've started the process of mental toughness.
And I think that's an area that we do fail at. And I say fail only because we don't understand it real well. That's why I think shows like this are important. You know, when you say, you know, routine, when it talks about failure, you know, when they're young and they strike out, you know, they're going to come to the coach, what did I do wrong? You know, yeah, I just failed. Now, if you can teach them by, I would assume by asking them questions also, because they can learn by you asking them questions, they can start dealing with that a little bit better. It's not going to happen instantly, but you begin that process. So give me an example. I mean, you know, kid strikes out. He's, you know, maybe it's the second time he just struck out. He comes to you, says, hey, CJ, you know, what did I do wrong?
Well, I mean, typically, because I'm a youth coach, I've been coaching for about 6 years out of the game. And one of the things that if they come to me during the game, you said he struck out about two times. He's walking back to the dugout. He's like, hey, coach, you know, what's going on? The first thing that I'm going to say is, hey, man, don't worry about that. Why? Because there's a game going on. Ask me after the game.
Mm.
Because I got to get him to turn the page and understand that there's more to hitting. There's more to this game than just the hitting aspect. Because it's important. Because if we're starting to – if you start as a coach that dialogue, that conversation right then and there about, your hands were this, you're stepping out, you're still dropping, Timmy. Now Timmy's going to second base thinking about dropping his shoulder or taking his at-bats to the field. You know, as a coach, you're supposed to be able to navigate them around that making those type of conversations doesn't need to take place now. Usually when they come to me during the game, I say, hey, man, don't worry about it. Keep your head up. Keep grinding. We'll talk about it after this game. We'll put you on a plane. We'll talk about it. Hey, get out there and make a dive and play. Get out there and turn two for me. Let's make this happen. To get them to understand mentally, let it go. We got something else we got to focus on right now. So that's huge. And I'm glad you asked that question because I feel, again, like you just said, Pete, it's not that that people might not know that technique, but for the most part, people just don't understand it. They might know it, but they might not understand why it's important to that I said, hey, not right now, because there's two parts to this. Actually, there's three parts: hitting, fielding, and being a great teammate.
Absolutely. Love it. I love hearing it. And accountability, you know, when they're young, I think we underestimate young kids because we don't give them enough credit that they can do some things on their own.
Exactly.
Give them more responsibilities. You know, so when we talk about accountability, you know, I'm going to the extreme. You know, we look at Japan. I've studied Japan a lot, been there a lot. You know, they're pretty tough on their young kids. I mean, they hold them accountable. Now, they backed off because it's gotten pretty dangerous where they've been too tough. You go to Latin America, people think, well, they pretty much do what they want. Yeah, sometimes on their swinging and on their pitching, okay, they throw hard all the time. Maybe they don't practice enough other pitches. Hitting, they swing hard all the time. They've got to learn that when they get to the U.S. But I've been to a lot of academies. They're pretty accountable. I believe that you've got to be able to hold some young kids accountable in a very professional way. You know, when a kid says, you know, example would be, I use this example. Let's just talk about it. When I'm working with young kids not hustling, you know, I don't get on them for not hustling, but I ask them, you know, I might ask them the question, hey, Joe, you tired? You know, and he'll look at you like, no. I go, well, I didn't see you running. What happened? I go, you know, I tell you what, if you're tired, it's no problem. You know, we can switch. Let's let, you know, Fred play a little bit and then come back later when you're not tired. Mm-hmm. I kind of throw it back on them, you know, and kind of get them going a little bit to understand that, you know, hey, you're not really hustling. You need to hustle a little bit better. And mm-hmm. why? And the only way you won't hustle is if you're tired. And if you're tired, there's no way you're going to be able to play the game.
Yes.
So I guess trying to hold young kids accountable, you've got to start doing that, because if we don't, you know, Ron Washington on the show said the other day, he said, when you see something, say something. Meaning if a kid's not doing something right, I don't care what age he is, you've got to say something to him. Now, how you say it is important.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it very much so is. The accountability is huge. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I say the same thing to my parents when I'm doing my parent talks. At my events, I always isolate. I either have a players only talk, a player and parent talk, but there will always be a coach's talk separately and always be a parent talk separately. There's always two or three talks at my events, because I feel like each party needs to hear certain things for them to be able to progress faster. And one of the things that I tell the parents in the parent talk is, your kids, you need to hold them to higher standards. Mm. Why? Because they hold themselves to higher standards for things like video games and things that they love.
Absolutely.
Like I'll tell you this from a personal experience with my little brother Chandler. He's not little anymore. He's 18. But when he was growing up, my mother used to say, because Chandler – he learns at a slower pace than most kids. But my mom used to always say, well, you know, I'm trying to deal with, you know, his learning speed and everything like that. And I'm like, Mom, let me let you know something. He might learn at a lower pace, but I want to tell you something that I saw the other day. When Chandler was frustrated on the video game, he had the intuition to be able to go to YouTube, to be able to type in what he was struggling with and be able to break down why the camera was right, why the phone was right there, and press play and do. Nobody told him that. He had the intellect to do that on his own. When he struggles with something that he loves, he's not going to give up. He's not going to become frustrated. He's going to continue to go after it. So I don't want you to just wholeheartedly just say, well, I don't know what to. No, kids, when they want it bad, parents should know. If they want it bad enough, they're going to bug you for it. They're going to bug the crap out of you to say, can you take me here? Can you fix me this? Can you get me lessons? Can you get home quickly so I can, before the sunlight's over with, so I can get some swings in? Can you do this? Can you long toss with me? Can you drop me off over there to get a hitting session with coach? Can you, if they're not doing that, you're not holding them to high enough standards.
You know,
or also, maybe you're pushing them a little too hard in something that they're really not in love with, like you are as a parent. Maybe it might be something that you're in love with and they just really like it. You know, yep. So
these and I gotta believe that's part of your talk with the parents, right?
Yes, yes.
Because that's an important talk right there, because sometimes we don't realize that we're really pushing these kids too much and back off a little bit and see what they really want to do.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's healthy. I just talked to this other parent the other day about how one of the kids that follows one of my TBN family members that's been following me for a long time, he's made the ultimate decision at 19 in college that he doesn't want to pursue baseball anymore. And the parents, you know, anytime that comes, when it's your firstborn, it's something you've been doing since five, when they finally let you know that they don't want to do it no more, sometimes some parents go overboard and say why, and force them to continue to play and let them know that it's always your dream, don't stop and all that. Let the parents know that you can let the kids know that are you sure? Let them know how much time and money and investment of an investment it's been for us as a family and things like that. Are you sure? But in the end, it comes a point where you got to be a parent. If they're interested in being an architect over baseball, if his passion has shifted, which it can, then I need for you to be their support system through architect. Then if they want to take up tennis, and you know that they're just not a good tennis player and they're a much better baseball player. If his or her heart is wanting to be that, then it's time for you to step up and position them to be the best that they can be. And the main reason why I say that, Pete, is because that's how we keep the lines of communication together in a family. You don't want to let baseball be something that breaks the line of communication just because you want them to be a baseball player. So now it's awkward. Now nobody wants to talk at the dinner table. Now nobody wants to come visit you when they get older because of that. Man, when I stopped playing baseball, everything between me and my parents kind of shifted. It broke. Keep the lines of communication there. Tell them what they need to know, but also make sure you know that you're their big support system.
You know, I love that we took the direction of going to the parents. And I'll tell you this why. And I've always believed as we got going into developing coaches and helping – you know, mm-hmm. if you're going to develop a player in the right direction, you've got to, one, educate the player. You got to, you know, the coach has to be educated.
Yep, yep.
But the parents got to be educated, because you know what's going to happen is because you're going to work with them and then they're going to go home and dad's going to say, no, let's do it this way. But if dad or mom understands that the way you're teaching it is the proper way and it's positive, if you're both on the same page, because eventually that kid's going to go home. And he's going to work with you know, son or daughter. And I think it's important that parents are involved in that, because, you know, baseball is a high-skilled sport. If they don't practice nowadays, you know, unless you're on a travel team, you're not practicing a lot. And sometimes even travel teams don't practice a lot.
Yeah,
they play
yeah.
more. So you got to find time to practice extra, just like you do the piano or anything else. But you're going to do that at home. Hopefully your mom and dad is playing catch with you at home.
Yeah,
maybe throwing some baseballs, doing something. So parents are very important in this process.
Yeah, very important. I wouldn't be where I'm at today without my parents being on me. I mean, seriously. I mean, and people that are watching right now, this is the type of motivation you get with me. You know, you don't get just, hey man, your hands need to be here to hit. You get life motivation as well. And it's not just for kids. It's for parents. It's for coaches. It's the entire industry of the sport. You know, but. It's huge for me to say this. When I was a kid, Pete, and you could probably attest to this too, because everybody goes through this. At some point in their life, 100% of everybody goes through this. That point where your ears become closed to your parents. There's a part of development, whether it's 13, 14, 16, there comes a stage in your life where they're trying to tell you something and you're just like, oh, here we go again. But when somebody else says it, they're like, hey, mom, guess what? Today at the camp, CJ Beatty said, and they're like, really? Oh, he did. Or, man, I was watching Pete's podcast today. He had Clint Hurdle on, and Hurdle said, really? And the dad's like, oh, he told you to swing level?
Yeah.
Oh, he told you to watch the friends that you hang around? Oh, okay. All right. Cool. That's awesome. You know, so that right there is huge. When I was coming up, I had a lot of kitchen table talks that I didn't want to be at the kitchen table because I knew what was coming. Why'd you swing at that pitch? Why'd you do that? Why'd you do this? You should be doing this. Turn the news on. Turn that off. You should be watching more about the news to be aware. You should be this. You should be that. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait to get out of here. But fast forward to now, I'm thankful for those talks. Because when life hit me hard, when I got released, the only thing that I had were those kitchen talks. The only support system that I felt that I trusted at that time when I was at my lowest point was my family, was those mom and dad moments. I called them. I didn't call my friends when I got released. I called the people that I cared about the most. You understand what I'm saying? So I feel that parents need to hear this and say, you know what? It's time for me to boot it back up. Let me boot up this parent. Let me get more hype for parenting because I need to position my kids to be the best that they can be, whether they need to know it, or whether they want to know it or not. I'm going to do what I need to do to make sure that I'm positioning them.
All right, CJ, we got a couple more items when we come down to closing here. You know, if you were talking to coaches, and, you know, we always talk about on the show, and I think this is just common sense, the grassroots level, you know, is our coaches at the young levels. I mean, that's where you build the sport. That's where you keep kids in the sport. You know, you talk about college, pro, and all that, but if we don't teach them right when they're young, they're not going to stay in the game. You know, when you talk about practice, you know, practice is so important because most kids go to practice at a young level. If practice is not fun, they're going to find something else to do. Mm-hmm. Address a little bit. I want you to address a couple things. One, the coaches, the young coaches, practice. You could say have fun, but what does that really mean when you organize a practice?
You know, when it comes to having fun, I love doing a lot of competitions, a lot of competitions. And don't pick competition that's only good for your top three hitters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't pick competition that's good for who can throw it the fastest. We already know there's going to be Timmy. Yeah. Timmy's the obviously the hardest thrower. But just pick competitions like I'm going to name some. I like to do the L screen challenge, hitting off of a tee. How many people can hit the L screen right back up the middle? That right there gives – and what makes it tough is being able to turn the L screen in a way where it's almost like you're hitting a pole, you know, mm-hmm. to be able to aim small, miss small, you know, type deal. But those type of competitions, spreading the team up into two teams for the L screen competition, being able to put everybody in center field and doing the accuracy by putting a trash can – down over home plate and getting them to understand a long hop competition throw for accuracy and who's going to have how many, you know, it's just a lot of team drills, a lot of competitions that not only is it fun, but it's teaching them. Like I said, it's key because in youth sports today on softball side and baseball side, when they're throwing from the outfield or making longer throws, they try to airmail it to get it there. And these competitions will educate them on long hops. You know, long hops. If you can't get it there on a line in the air because your arm is not strong enough, I'd rather take two long hops to be able to get there, to be able to apply the tag. So this competition, putting everybody in center field and saying we have 5 minutes going a single foul line. We want to be able to see how many balls that you can get in this trash can. To be able to stay inside the trash can in 5 minutes. If you can get at least 10 in 5 minutes and keep the line going, then I'm going to take everybody out for pizza. Mm. Or we're going to have a pizza party at the next practice. Man, that right there is like, man, good. And the reason why we like those type of competitions, because now it becomes a family. Now it becomes, you see the kids that are usually – timid at practice, they're speaking up because of excitement. They're like, yeah, let's go. It's bringing the team together. Moments like that for youth coaches to see, if you can try to figure out how to do that, not only just fun, but educational fun, that's how you build a championship atmosphere.
You know, it's funny, and we go right back to it. You know, you're putting on a little pressure, and now you're learning how to deal with that pressure. I wish I had that. Because, again, we're talking about the mental part without even talking about it.
Yes.
You know, through those drills, it's going to be tough, but it's a challenge. And I don't know of anybody, whether it's youth, and I remember even in pro ball, every time you had a challenging drill, the pro guys loved it. They were like little kids.
Yeah. You know?
And it was a simple drill of here's one ball, a tee on a ball, and a tee on a ball over there. Try to hit this ball into that. And these college guys would be spending hours trying to hit that ball off that tee. You know, it's like, you know, it's like you're back to being 8 years old. So I love that. And listen, your other message, I think, is important too, to coaches at the youth levels, at the younger levels. And, you know, and I say younger, 14 and younger, before they get to high school, which incorporates travel ball, incorporates house leagues. They're so important to the foundation of the sport. Your message to them, and because I'm sure you've changed as a coach, also, like we all have, we've gotten better at what we do. Your message to them, what to focus on with these young kids, the most important things, so that way they do stay in the game longer. Part of it is the practice aspect, but what else do they really need to change their maybe coaching philosophy?
I would just say for everybody, coaches, parents, and players, to become a student of the game. Like, going back to mental, becoming a student of the game to the point where we might not be playing this weekend, but since you're a student of the game, your body craves knowledge for baseball. Your body craves knowledge for softball. It'll put if softball, like, this is what I've been telling people to do, because back during the quarantine, baseball, all sports were shut down. But you know what? How about you pull up a game on YouTube? How about you pull up a classic game and watch it? How about you pull up and get your timing in the living room with your bat, watching, getting your timing off Pedro Martinez back in the World Series?
Oh, yeah.
You're watching him go through his motion, and you're in your living room going like this. That's becoming a student of the game. Watching YouTube videos during this quarantine and say, you know what? I am absolutely terrible at my backhand. Typing in backhand videos, baseball, and watching a video that has a lot of views and a lot of thumbs up to say, this is how you go about it. You know, I think that it's very important that baseball players, softball players, travel ball parents, youth coaches continue to recalibrate every single time that they can deeper knowledge of the sport. You know, so I think that right there will be my answer to your question, is just being able to continue to grow your mind around the clock.
And you said it perfectly. During the coronavirus, there's no excuse. There's plenty of YouTube. There's plenty of videos. There's plenty of ways to do that, to train yourself mentally. But, you know, and I remember talking to some coaches. I know coaches have been going on Zoom, you know, and talking to their players and doing all kinds of stuff that way, communicating. You know, I said to them, you know, you might want to, and I just thought of it top of my head, and this is something that I tell coaches all the time. You got to be creative. Got to think outside, and I call the show Outside the Box. Uh-huh. You got to think outside the box, and sometimes we have to be creative during the actual situation because something's not going right. We want to shift into our practice, whatever it may be. When the coach told me about the Zoom, what they were doing, I said, did you put on, you know, Zoom has the where you can share. Did you put on a major league game on? And did you watch the major league game with your players and ask them questions during the game, what they would do in certain situations, right? Because we're talking about, we want to be creative when it comes, young kids need to know the game, understand the game, think the game a little bit. I didn't do that when I was a player. You know, I just played it. But sometimes if I would have thought the game, I could have been a little bit better. So that was just something I threw out that I thought was important. And I don't know if you want to add something. I want to get to the final part when you're done.
No. That's good. I mean, that just, again, it goes under the umbrella of mental toughness. That is a very innovative way of keeping your team dialed in during this quarantine and during the time of social distancing, is how can I grow their mind? Whenever we can't be together on the field, and that's a very optimal way of doing it.
CJ, we've talked about off air, you know, obviously getting you involved with ISG Baseball, our company, nonprofit company out of California that, you know, goes all over the world to train coaches, players, and parents, but mostly coaches. And we definitely want to do that. And hopefully with the coronavirus, we'll get this thing over with, find the cure, and be able to go internationally more. But I want to let people know about what you're doing. So we're going to put everything on the show notes, but tell them about the videos, where they go, where they follow you. I know you also speak to groups, whether it be on Zoom or whether later on it be in person. Let's get into that a little bit, because I really want people to understand all that.
Man, we'd love to have it. I call everybody that follows me my TBM and TSM family. You know, I call them that because of the fact that my my motivation is as if I'm speaking to a family member. You know, it comes from the heart. I don't sugarcoat it. And all of my motivation is that way. It's that way. I'm telling you because you need to know. And I always come from a sense of urgency, because you can turn over a new life with one sound decision. You know, just making that decision and saying that, you know what, I'm not going to be the butt of anybody's jokes anymore. It's time. CJ said it's time for me to get my life together and think differently. So let's do it. So I encourage everybody that's watching to be able to be a part of my TBM, TSM family. Follow me on Instagram. That's where the hub of everything is. If you want to know about, you know, what I've already done previously, who I'm working with, some of my corporate sponsors and that side of things, please go to cjbeatty.com. It has everything there for you to know about what I'm doing. Currently, I'm getting ready to wrap up my first book series. I'll have a lot of, you know, I think that'll be fun for my readers out there to be able to get their hands on my material. This one is the first book that comes out. Is called Big League Dreams, Little League Minds.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes. Because everybody Love has it. Big League dreams, but no matter how old you are, you can't, whether it's on the field or off the field, you can't get to the big leagues with a little league mind. So my book is really talking about the release, talking about what my mindset was leading up to pro ball, in independent ball, what brought me to TBM. It's just giving you a whole spectrum of my mentality and how it was birthed to where it is today. So I can't wait for that. An audio book I'm working on releasing soon, so we can have a big bundle of things. You see me rocking TBM gear. You know, I have some TBM gear on my website. Click the shop button. But the one thing that I'm really excited about, because the kids are excited about, is my music. I create clean music. I know it's such an oxymoron to say clean hip hop music these days, but the reason why my music is being kind of bought at an alarming rate, or streamed at an alarming rate, is because of the fact that it is clean and parents can trust it. If it's coming from Beatty, then you know it's clean and positive. So if you're a parent on here that are looking for clean music to download, I will have out, because I'm releasing a new volume this Friday called Baseball Feel Good Music Volume 5. I have 4 volumes out right now in all digital stores, iTunes, Apple Music, Google Play, Amazon, Spotify, you name it, iHeartRadio. If it's online, you can get Beatty. You can get CJ Beatty. Just search CJ Beatty and you'll see everything roll out. But I got a lot of things going on, but at the end of the day, it doesn't seem like a lot for me, because I'm led with my heart. I'm led with my heart. So on the outside, it might look like, geez, he's everywhere. But for me, I'm like, I'm not enough places, because I just want to inspire so many people as possible before my time expires on this earth.
Well, I can be a testament of that, because I met CJ, like I said, 4 or 5 years ago. And man, I mean, he hit me right away. So I didn't forget him. I may not have communicated real well with him all the time, you know, every day, but I did not forget him. And that was awesome. Yeah. Hey, listen, buddy, I really appreciate it. This has been fantastic. We'll put everything on the show notes. Don't forget, the shows will be on, it's right now live on Facebook. Everybody on Facebook, thanks for joining us, but we'll get back to you in a second. CJ, thanks, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for doing all that you're doing, man. I mean, it's people like you that allows, you know, me, you open the door for people like CJ Beatty to walk through. So I really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
All right, man. That is CJ Beatty. Thank you to CJ. Special thanks to Brian Crocker, our producer with the Lineup Media Group. Special thanks to everybody on live on Facebook. And of course, this will be on Twitter, Instagram, and will be placed on YouTube at Peter Caliendo. Don't forget, go to YouTube, Peter Caliendo, subscribe. That helps to get the show out even more. So thank you, folks. Really appreciate it. This is the show that loves to interview baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge of status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. That's CJ Beatty. We want to wish you the best. Get back on the field. If you're on the field already, be safe. We hope to see you soon. See you in the next show, everybody. Bye-bye.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.